Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
Well, welcome to week number one of this brand new series that we're launching today called Greater Than. And we're going to be looking at a lot of different sort of life choices that confront us on a regular basis. And we're going to kind of compare and contrast them on the authority of God's word to kind of figure out, okay, what's the best path for me to take? How can I go for the absolute best? What's greater than what? And so I thought what we'd do, just to kind of get us in the mood, get us in the spirit of this sort of greater than, less than thing, I'm gonna give you a quick test, okay? And I need a little bit of community interaction here, okay? And so the first thing we're gonna do, I'm gonna put up a series of words, and I'm gonna get you to vote on what you think is greater than. Are you ready? Can you do it? Okay, that was really weak. This may completely stink, but we're going to give it a shot, all right? The first category is one you've probably heard a lot before. It's Coke versus Pepsi, okay? Coke versus Pepsi. Who are my Coke people out there? Raise your hands. Okay, all right. Now all the Pepsi people. Oh, clearly Coke is better and greater than Pepsi. That is true. Even Santa thinks Coke is greater than Pepsi, okay? He's willing to fight little children for his Coke, okay? That's just true. In fact, Coke has now, I think, about 51% of the market share in the world on soft drinks. Pepsi's around 22, okay? So if you're like me and you actually prefer a Pepsi product, you're in the minority, okay? It's just not as great. All right, let's go to the next category. How about waffles versus pancakes? Where are my waffle people at? Okay, hey, all right. How about pancakes? Okay, ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know. I'm going to say waffles is greater than pancakes, but really the deciding factor is which one has chocolate chips in it. That's kind of what I have come to know, okay? How about NFL versus the NBA? Where's my NFL people at? Raise your hands. Okay, good. NBA? Okay. All right. I'm thinking in this crowd, NFL is actually greater than NBA. There's a lot of abstaining, disgruntled Charger fans in here. I know you're like refusing to vote just because of what's gone down. All right, here's the last one. This is maybe my favorite. Dogs versus cats. Where's my dog people? Okay. And where's my cat people? Okay. Yeah, I should have said cats, because cat owners always have like 47 of them, okay? But that's one thing. Not really a close vote. You know, I had dogs and cats when I was growing up, and I don't know. This is just kind of a universal rule. When you show up and you have a dog, the dog is panting and smiling and jumping up and down and peeing himself. He's so glad that you're there. You finally come home, you know, and what's the cat's response? It's like, oh, it's you again, you know, like, you know, so that's the kind of thing. So one more time, where are my cat friends at? All you have, okay. Now I want you guys, go ahead, hold your hands up real quick. Look around the room, okay, at these lonely, lonely people. And what I want you, the rest of you dog people, you invite a lonely person to lunch today, okay? Make them leave their cat at home, but bring them with you and they can have a great time. But we're talking about what's greater than in life. And today we're looking at the contrast between faith and our desire a lot of the time to connect all the dots in our life. The difference between clarity and a step toward trust, which is greater in our life, really. And so most of us, I think this is true, most of us really like to have a sense of clarity in our life. Most of us have an expectation that we're going to be able to sort of map out the path ahead of us before we go on our journey. We like to connect all the dots to make sure that the picture looks the way that we want it to look before we get going. All right, and maybe you can relate. I think we kind of fall in different places on that continuum, but we like to have the big questions figured out before the test. We like to have all of our ducks in a row. The problem is, as we've all bumped into, is then life shows up and all of our stupid ducks start going all out of their row and they start getting all crazy. And so there's this lie that we tell ourselves. And you might jot this little lie down kind of on the margin of your notes, but here's the lie, is that what I need in life is clarity. This is a lie we tell ourselves. And whether the decision is about a career, or it's about a relationship, or it's about a step in our finances, what we really, really want is clarity up front. But see, what the Bible shows over and over and over again, what we see in the pages of the Scripture, is we see a God who's actually far more interested in us developing a sense of dependence upon Him than He is on delivering this clarity on how all the different details of life are going to end up working out. He actually values faith over a sense of being able to connect all of the dots. Do you see the tension there? My big desire is to connect all the dots. I want my life kind of lined out and the ducks in a row. What God's big ambition for me, and we see this in the life of a man named Abraham we're going to look at in just a second, is that God values dependence upon Him. God values a step of faith. God thinks it's faith is, in fact, greater than connecting all the dots. So now we got a little bit of an issue that we're going to run into, and we run into it quite often. And so we're gonna examine the life, this sort of real life faith walk of a guy named Abraham, and it pretty he pretty much went through it in his life. He had a lot of challenges and difficulties. But here's how Hebrews chapter 11 describes him. Would you look at this with me? Starting at verse 8, it says, "Faith led Abraham to obey God when God called him to go to the place where he would receive as an inheritance." It says, "Abraham left his own country without even knowing where he was going. Faith led Abraham to live as a foreigner in the country that God had promised him. Abraham was waiting for the city that God had designed and built, the city with permanent foundations. Faith enabled Abraham to become a father, even though he was old. And Sarah, that was his wife, had never been able to have children. Abraham trusted that God would keep his promise. Abraham was as good as dead. Yet from this man came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the grains of sand on the seashore." Abraham is a guy who lived a real life. He was confronted by real choices, just like you and I get confronted with. And honestly, he was a guy who sometimes struggled, like we do, in this choice between faith and connecting all the dots. He was a guy who went through what I call the five phases of faith. And I want to walk through these with you briefly, because I think these phases show a consistent pattern of how God deals with us in our day-to-day experiences in life. We're going to look at these briefly, and then we're going to make some applications for our upcoming week. And like, kind of, what do I do with this as I walk into Monday? Here's the first phase. The first phase of the faith is the dream. The dream. These are the prompting moments of life when you feel like kind of the flash bulbs are sort of firing off in your brain, in your heart, okay? It's maybe the next big step for you, or maybe it's the holy aspiration. It's the dream stage. It's a really fun stage. This is when everything's firing. It's kind of electric, and Abraham had one with God. Genesis 12, verse 1 says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you.'" God shows up in the life of this everyday guy. He's like, "I've got something radical. There's a big dream that I'm dropping in you right now. And I'm going to bless you big time. And those that support you, I'm going to bless them too. Those that come against you, better watch out, because I'm with you. This is something that I am doing." God gives Abraham this promise, this dream. But what's interesting is that when Abraham gets this dream, which I think a lot of times we often associate dreaming with youth. Like, you know, the young people, they got a dream for their life, and like, they're going to go do, and they've got aspirations and other stuff. What's interesting about Abraham is that Abraham didn't get this dream until he was 75. 75 years old, God shows up. I got a dream for you. Now, interesting, he's 75. God says, you're going to be the father of this amazing nation, greater than the sands and the seashore, greater than all the stars and all the panoply of stars. It's going to be amazing, Abraham. And Abraham's 75, and he has no kids. Okay? He's old. I mean, he's taken 4 Advil just to get out of bed in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Okay, how many of you guys know that, like, when you start getting older, you don't get tired, you get sore, okay? So he's popping ibuprofen like they're Tic Tacs over here. He's 75, and now God's giving him this big league dream at 75, this vision. He's going to be the father of an entire nation at 75. This is way before Viagra, okay? It's a big deal, okay? But here's the deal. If you're going to just kind of sit back, as we often do sort of in our own natural experiences, and we try to connect the dots on our own, what we're going to come up with is that's absolutely impossible. When's the last time you bumped into a 75-year-old who became the father of a great nation with no kids at 75? Like, we connect the dots, and that's where Abraham was at. That's where Sarah was at, his wife. He's like, wait a minute. That's impossible. But it just goes to show you that, in fact, you're never too old to dream. I think the dreamer role is not just for young people. It's for all of us. God's a dreamer. It's never too late for God to do something new in you. In fact, what God regularly does is he drops dreams on the most unlikely of people all the time. Like, he makes a habit of it. All throughout the Bible, David was too young. Abraham was too old. Elijah was too burned out. Rahab had a messed up sexual past. Peter was too impulsive. Martha was a worrier. Moses was ridden with fear. Paul was a terrorist. I mean, these are people that got a dream dropped on them by God, and they were the most unlikely of characters. So if you're rolling in today and you feel a little unlikely, you feel a little maybe not the first one in line for God to use to go do something great. I want you to know God's in the business of, he's created a habit for himself of taking people who are highly unlikely, putting a huge big league dream on them, and then watching something amazing come into fruition. It's an amazing thing that God does. And so instead, here's what happened with Abraham. He's wrapped there in the stage of the dream. He's there, okay? But there's always a second phase. And the second phase is this. It's the moment of decision. There's a decision that is required in this faith journey. So as God gives the dream, he speaks to Abraham and he says, I want you to go from where you're hanging out and chilling out. I want you to go to a new land and I'll show you what that's going to be later. Now, don't just sort of swing over that like, oh, that's like no big deal. I want you to imagine, you have a conversation with God right now, and he's like, I want you to go from where you're at here in San Diego. You're going to head toward Dubuque, Minnesota. I'll talk with you later about what that's going to look like. Just go. And you're like, where's Minnesota? Like, isn't that a flyover state? You're like, I don't exactly know. There's no details. There's no meat on the bones. He just says, go. And so in Abraham's now confronted, there's a decision that has to be made. Now, all these people that are like from Minnesota are like all ticked off at me now. It's like, hey, I'm sorry. I wave at your state when I fly to New York. It's fine. But look at what happens in Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 4, it says, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. He obeyed. And it says, and Lot went with him, who was his cousin. And Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Now, I'm guessing that Abraham is a lot like you and me. He prefers to have a little bit more detail in the mix. He likes to have a little bit more fleshed out map of where he's going. But what we see is that Abraham was prepared to make a decision, to make his decision for faith be greater than his desire to have all the dots connected in his life. And what I like about Abraham's initiative is that I think he recognized something that impacts us all the time, is that fear has an amazing way of holding us back from the decisions that we really need to make. And there was a moment when he just said, like, look, there's a lot of unknowns that's out here. There's a lot of stuff that I don't exactly know how it's going to work out. But I would rather risk in pursuit of the promise God has given me than to regret
and shrink back in fear. It was a big deal. If he could have maybe waited and connected all of the dots to get all of the detail, you know what would have happened? He would have missed his God opportunity. And I guarantee what results is regret. But instead, Abraham listens to God, and he made the decision to do what God had told him to do. But then here comes the third phase of this faith journey. It's delay. Delay. Now, I got to tell you, these are all phases that we're going to go through on our faith journey. And can I just tell you, I got bad news for you. You're probably going to spend most of your life in this phase. We spend most of our time walking around this in pursuit of our dream in the waiting phase. But I got good news, too, because this is also the phase where we experience a deepening in our relationship with God in ways that we never could unless we went through the phase. And if look at Genesis 16:1. It says, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him." She had been waiting a long time, okay? Now, this is really, really important because we're now in Genesis 16, we're fast-forwarding in the story just a little bit, and now Abraham's he's not just 75, he's actually 86. We're fast-forwarding now 11 years, and his wife Sarah had still not been able to have children. There's this big delay, and there's a powerful truth in here that I want to help us kind of get our heads around. Write this down. God never said that he would be operating on your time schedule. Like, man, that's kind of hard to write down. It's really tough to walk out, but it's totally true. God never told you, he never told me, that he was going to be operating on your time schedule. He's operating on his time schedule. And clearly, he was perfectly good with having this time of waiting. And there's tons of examples throughout the Bible. We don't like to wait. And so this integral part of the faith process becomes hard. This is where we start asking the when questions. You know, when am I going to be able to get married? When am I going to get that raise that I've been waiting on forever? When's that coming? When am I going to get to have kids? When are all these kids going to move out of my house? Like, there's the when, you're like in the waiting things. And so all these questions start pouring into our minds in the delay phase. You know why? Because we don't like to wait. And you know what's the underlying fear in there? It's this fear that, you know what, it's never going to happen. When's it going to go down? When I'm getting anxious because I don't think it's ever going to happen. Can you imagine a husband and a wife who had been told by God, you're going to have so many descendants, they're going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky, 11 years later. Now he's 86, and it's still not happening. And this truth that I really want to encourage you in. Write this down. Just because your dream is delayed doesn't mean it's denied. That is true in the Lord. Now that may not be true. You haven't put Jesus at the center of your life. Your delayed dream may, in fact, be delayed forever. But the hope of following Jesus around, the hope of allowing Christ to come at the center of my life, is that when he has placed a dream in my heart, he has called me, he has set a promise in front of me. Just because that dream and that hope is delayed does not mean it's denied. Quite the contrary. We have grown into a culture of what I call quickaholics. We worship words like fast, speedy, instant, easy. Do you notice? Do you notice how products are marketed to us? It's like when you throw a word like that onto the box, we buy it. We are quickaholics. We like everything to show up faster. We want to be able to connect the dots as fast as possible. But faith is different. Faith is greater than connecting the dots. So I want you to listen to me real carefully here. Experiencing real hope in your life is not only having faith in God's power to deliver something amazing to you. It's actually also found in trusting in his timing as he delivers it on his schedule. So it's not, see, a lot of us go like, you know, I think God's powerful enough to do anything. And that's true.
Here's where the breakthrough comes in. And I actually will trust him to deliver in his perfect timing exactly what I need. There's the game changer. Because now I'm no longer the one in the driver's seat. I'm not calling the shots. I'm not connecting the dots. I'm coming to a place of dependence upon him. It's the season of delay, which then leads to the season and phase number four, which is difficulty. This is the part we don't like, really don't like. Now, we're going to jump ahead in the story again. Abraham is about 99 years old. Sarah, his wife, girlfriend, is past her prime. Okay, can I just say that? And this couple has been having an infertility struggle their entire lives together. Okay? The dots, as it were, are not connecting. But watch how faith was greater than. Hebrews 11, verse 11. It says, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and she was too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. Look at what comes about as a result of this difficulty. There's a challenge here. There is a result of their faith. Abraham believed God, and there was a result. Sarah, it says, had faith that God would deliver, and look at what ends up happening. He did. There was an actual delivery. Now, was it challenging? Absolutely. Was it probably discouraging from time to time? You bet. Uncomfortable? Obviously. But God showed up and showed himself faithful every single time. That builds you for the long haul. When we go through things that are challenging and difficult, it's not just the short-term thing. It builds for the long haul. Write this down. God is less interested in your comfort than he is in your character. God's not interested in helping you continue in your comfy, dumpy little life because that's not what actually grows us. That's not what actually causes us to reach our full potential. It's just not. I will often say, you know what? Nobody grows on vacation except fat. We don't grow on vacation. We chill out on vacation. We rest up in vacation. That's all good. When's the last time you went on a vacation? And man, your character was just really deepened on vacation when you're like chilling on the beach in Maui. No. God is a lot less concerned about our comfort than he is about our character. He's into transformed lives that get to experience his goodness. He is honored by character decisions far more than your comfort. Difficulty is this fundamental ingredient to growing a faith-filled character. It's just true. It's how you get to the absolute best. Sometimes we got to go through something hard, which leads to phase five, which is deliverance. This is the end zone. This is touchdown time, okay? Deliverance. Abraham and Sarah, they end up having a son named Isaac. There is a literal delivery, and from that deliverance comes an even broader fulfillment of God's promise. Because from their little family that they start at age 99 comes this entire nation that grows from that. Hebrews 11, 12 says, yet from this man came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the grains of sand on the seashore. We all love the deliverance phase. Okay, deliverance is awesome, and in fact, it's coming. When we're on a faith journey with God, this phase is coming in Jesus' name. Overwhelming victory is mine through Christ Jesus, the scripture says. So, like, there is a deliverance that is headed my direction. But I want to back up now a little bit to what I think is maybe one of the most challenging phases and stages. It's usually the longest phase. It's that stage that says, you know what? What do I do when my dream is delayed? What do I do in delay? I'm having to wait here. I have lots of things that I want to do and that I dream for my life, and I believe maybe even is a holy aspiration, but now I'm waiting. What do I do in the delay? And I think the life of Abraham shows us a few things that I want to leave with you today. Number one, you have to remain in the presence of God. Amen. You remain in his presence. What I want you to see here in the life of Abraham is the contrast of what happens when we're in God's presence as opposed to when we wander away from God's presence, which is greater.
And the truth is, we all have a tendency to wander away and wander outside of God's presence. But look at what Romans 4 says about Abraham. It says, Abraham believed when he stood in the presence of God. Belief happened when he was in God's presence, when he was with him, okay? Our faith is built on a foundation of God's manifest presence in our life. Now, why this seems like kind of maybe the natural thing that you'd expect, you know, the pastor to stand up and say, like, hey, you got to be in God's presence. Like, what does that look like? But do you know that recent studies have shown that the vast majority of people, even folks that profess to say, you know what, I'm following Christ, that in the course of the last year, the vast majority of people would actually say, I can't point to a time when I have experienced the presence of God. Vast majority. You know why? It's because we're really good at walking off from the presence of God. We lean that direction really, really easy. What Paul is writing in Romans is he's noting, he's like, Abraham believed and experienced something in his life because he remained in the presence of God. He didn't go running to some other source. I'm a good one for that. He didn't go wandering off thinking that he could connect the dots on his own. I'm really good at that. Faith is greater than connecting the dots. And so are you waiting right now? Maybe for that next big transition in your career. I just want you to know, you don't need to spend more time on monster.com. You need to spend more time in the manifest presence of God. That's where faith trumps connecting all the dots. You remain in his presence. What does that look like? It just means talking to him. We call it prayer, but it's as simple as a conversation, communicating with a living God. Time in his word, just reading it and pouring it into your life. Time devoting yourself to him, carving some time out of your schedule just to be in his presence, to worship him, to thank him, to set your requests before him. Time spent with him. Then number two, I got to remember what God can do is always greater. Okay? We often get so overwhelmed in our situations because we are often in over our heads. Is that just me? Okay? And so in spite of what, you know, Nike's telling me to just do it, I just can't do it. And I get in over my head. But when I remember, hey, wait a minute, what God can do is always greater. Look at what Romans 4:17 continues to say. It started out, we read it already. Abraham believed when he stood in the presence of God. Look at this. Who gives life to dead people and calls into existence things that don't even exist. There's two things in that verse. Leave that up there just for a second. There's two things in this verse about God that you can't get anyplace else. It says that it's a God, the God who gives life to dead people and calls into existence things that don't even exist. What that means is that God has the authority and the power to breathe life into a dead relationship. Only he can do that. If he can do it with a dead person, don't you think he can do it with a dead career? If he can do it with a dead person, he can actually inspire and breathe life back into a dead thing. Don't you think that he could breathe that back into a dead dream for you? And it says he calls into existence the things that don't even exist. That means that with him, anything's possible. Well, I look at my situation and I'm trying to connect all the dots, and the picture that I'm coming up with, that's not quite up to snuff. He's going, that's because you don't got enough dots on your page. I have the ability to bring dots where there aren't any even dots, and I connect them on my own. I already know what the picture is. You can trust me. So when you're in the midst of that delay, remembering, you know what God can do is always greater. That's why it's not on me to go work out all the details of my life so that the picture works out well. It's actually on him. All I have to do is trust. All I have to do is number three. I choose faith over connecting the dots. I like to be clear on what I'm getting into. I like the idea of a roadmap before I start my trip. I want to connect all of those dots before I move. You know why? because I want to verify it's the picture that I want produced before I start. And what that puts me in is this place where I'm the one that's calling the shots for my life. I know what's best for me. I know what career path I need to be walking. I know everything about how I'm going to manage my children. I know how I'm going to put it all together so that nobody ever gets sick. Nobody ever has a cataclysmic illness. I know how to do it so that nobody ever has an emergency situation. Listen to how ridiculous that starts sounding. When we know for a fact we're not in control of any of those things. We're trying to connect all those dots, but we don't have any authority. Here's the beauty of following Jesus. As he stands back and he looks at our page that we are so dumbfounded by, and he's like, I know exactly what the picture is. And it's awesome. It's beyond anything you can even figure out. I'm the God who threw all the stars in the sky into their exact and perfect place. You don't think I can handle a few of the dots on your page? I got you covered. You can trust me. When your dream is delayed, we choose trust over clarity. We choose faith, because faith is greater than connecting the dots. There was a man named John Kavanaugh who came to the later stages of his life. He was sort of questioning what he should do with the remainder of it. He was a fairly famous ethics person in the world. Clearly smarter than me. I can't even pronounce his title. Okay, but here's what he did. He was sort of on this journey for significance in the autumn of his life, and he went to go work with Mother Teresa for 3 months. He went. Mother Teresa, everybody knows, she worked in Calcutta. In a place that was called the House of the Dying. That's where Mother Teresa worked, in one of the most destitute cities in all of the world. And he went to go work with her there, and he actually met Mother Teresa on the very first day that he arrived. Here's this kind of wealthy American, shows up to go work with Mother Teresa. And he recounts the story of his time engaging with her, and right away he said the first words out of her mouth to me, this amazing saint of God, she says, "What can I do for you?" Which just kind of struck me. It's like he's just getting off of his plane and arriving, and here's Mother Teresa. She's operating this world-renowned, you know, ministry to the least of these. She's probably got a lot on her plate, one would think. She meets this man, and her first words are, "What can I do for you?" And so his response was, "Will you pray for me?" Seems like a halfway decent thing to ask Mother Teresa. So she kind of pressed him a little bit more. She said, "What would you like me to pray for?" And he said this. He said, "Pray that I will have clarity." He's on this sort of midlife crisis journey of rediscovery and all that kind of stuff. He's basically saying, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? That's the kind of the questions that he's asking. Would you pray that I could have clarity? Now, here's what's fascinating is that she flatly refused to pray that for him. She said, "No, I will not do that." Literally. "No, I will not do that." And so when he sort of like asked her why, like, "Hey, you know, like, hey, Mother Teresa, why are you so ticked off?" She responded this. I wrote this down. She said, "Clarity is the last thing that you are clinging to, and you must let go of it." Clarity is the last thing you're clinging to, and you must let go of it. So he's sort of taken aback a little bit, and he pressed a little bit more, and he said, "Yeah." He's like, "Okay, it's good, but what I'm seeking the clarity that I see in you. I want your kind of clarity that you have in life." And she actually laughed, and she said this. She said, "I have never had clarity. What I have always had is trust. So I will pray that you trust God." I've never had clarity. What I've had is trust in God. I'll pray that you can trust him greater. Do you see the contrast of these two prayers? God, help me connect all the dots in my life. That's his prayer. And her prayer, God, help me trust you more. He mistook her assurance for an absence of doubt. when what he was actually seeing was radical trust. So if you're a follower of Christ and you've got a few doubts that are kicking around inside your heart, join the club. I got some too. Connecting all the dots doesn't mean an absence of all those doubts. What true faith is a radical trust and a radical dependence upon God in spite of all the dots that I can't even see on my page. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know." I like that. "Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way." This God who flung every star into space, he can handle the dots on your page. Go remain in his presence. And remember, you know what? What God can do is greater than what I can do. He's bigger than me. He's smarter than me. He loves me more than I love me. And I can choose faith over connecting those dots. So here's what I want to encourage us to do today in these moments. We're going to go to God in prayer. I want you to contemplate your own life right now, the circumstances that you're dealing with. Some of these things are probably really, really big. There's pains that are present. There's anxieties and fear that are present. There's things that are just overwhelming to us in our life. Would you take a journey with me just real quick as we go and we have a conversation with God? I want to give you the opportunity to surrender your own control of those things to him and radically trust him. Faith is greater than you and me connecting all of our dots. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you today with a life full of questions that we don't have answers to, of concerns that we often worry about, of the details and the significant issues in our life that we're really not in control of. We come to you today as an act of surrender to you. We're going to trust you in what you have said about us, that you love us, that you have a plan for us, that you have promised to give us this abundant life. And even as we sometimes stand in the waiting period, we have got stuff that we don't see how it's going to work out. We make the decision today to rest and to trust in you, to remain in your presence. Some of us need to take that step a little deeper, to remember and be cognizant of the reality that what you do is always greater than what we can do. And God, we ask that today you would help us embolden our faith so that we can go for the absolute best. We can choose faith greater than this desire that we often have to connect our own dots. We give you our lives in these situations and ask you to provide and lead and guide and bless in every way as we walk out these doors today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.